Well, praise the Lord. Go ahead and open up to Matthew 28. I told Derek as he was helping me get the mic, get one. I said, I'm sure going to be excited to hear what the message is tonight. All I've been able to do is pray. I'm in some kind of intercession. It's intercession, I think, first for me, for us, for the church at large, for our country, for revival, for the world. I'm never going to be the same person now after going through 1 John and really understanding what's in that book. I better make this announcement before my mind gets into wherever he's taking me exactly. I just know where to start. We now have the 1 John series all available in one place. What I mean is the MP3s, the video links, and the edited or proofread PDFs. The easiest way to get there is to go to Dave's website, daveroberson.org. And on the front page, on the home page, they've got a little square over kind of to the right. And if you click in there, it gives you the link, takes you right to it. Or if you go to garycarpenter.org, go to media, and then there's a list that comes up, and the bottom left one says 1 John Teaching Series. And they're all there. And they're all free. Nobody's going to stand there and say, I know the truth was in there, but I could not afford it. Nope. Not on my watch. Not on Dave's watch either. So with that aside, just to let you know that it's there. So if you don't hear it, whose fault is that? Okay. All right, just want to make sure. Matthew 28, right before Jesus ascended into heaven. Would you think this is important? Last things he's saying, you know, you have to put them all together to get everything. You have to get Mark 16, you have to get this, or get all four of them together. This part here, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, here this week, the words that stood out to me, I mean, I've understood for quite a while that Jesus told them to go teach everything he had taught them. But he really said more than that. He didn't say just go teach them. He said, you teach them to observe. Plain English, you teach them to do it. Jesus says in several places, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? For me, it was so refreshing. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sorry. Well, that's what I want. Don't you want that? That's what I want. I don't know what the message is. Come on. Not this one. Not with you guys. You guys are the tip of the spear, you know. You're the sharp threshing machine in the harvest field, whether you know it or not. God, there's a purging coming. It's already happening in me. This week, I thought I could have quoted, because I've heard it so many times, Dave's little 3-message series, Sin Shall Not Have Dominion Over You. How many of you remember that? Most of you have heard it. I've heard it, I don't know how many times. But I have to admit, it's probably been, if 5 years, maybe. I focus more on the Born Again Trail. I hadn't heard that series in a long time. And right after I finished the First John, then my instruction from the Lord, and I think I mentioned it to you guys, it'd be good to hear that again. So I do my own preaching, whether you believe it or not. So this week I listened to the first message. Or I listened to all three of them now. I could hardly believe it. I had forgotten that Dave, that first message in that series, the book he's primarily teaching out of is First John. I had totally forgotten that. And now he doesn't teach the whole book in one message, but he teaches the heart of the whole book in one message. Angie and I were listening to it at the gym. My daughter loves me, but she said, "Daddy, it took Dave one message to do what it took you 21. And I went, "That's my pastor." Glory to God for our pastor, Dave Roberson. Now, he didn't have every little detail in there, not like we covered it, but he sure has the heart of it. And I'm listening to that message, and I know I was here. I can hear Sue laughing in the background. I know we were here when he taught it. I can hear her laugh, and think it takes me back, you know. And I'm listening to that. See, there's some division in the camp, you know. There's people that say Nathan is preaching too hard about being from sin. They're accusing me of becoming a holiness preacher. And they're accusing us, you know, and I'm not against them. We just need to get united. But listen, if you think Nathan's teaching hard, and if you think I'm teaching hard, you go listen to "Sin Shall Not Have Dominion." And this time listen to the part you don't want to hear, where Dave says, if you're still sinning, it's because you want to. He says, you're already free. You're already free. I mean, he teaches it straight and hard. Now, all of us add in, like Dave taught us. Now, listen, the Holy Spirit, I don't care what slimy rock you crawled out under. Of course, the Holy Spirit's going to help you. But that's never going to take away from the truth. You're already free. If you're born again, you're free. All right. I just really recommend those to you, especially if you've digested the First John series. Go back and hear Pastor. And I'll tell you this. I didn't recognize it then, of course, because I didn't see it coming the way he did. Do you know he prophesied before it became well known? He prophesied about the radical grace movement before I ever heard of it. Yeah. He calls it lascivious grace. He calls it another name. But it's exactly the radical grace movement. He also taught about greasy grace. Greasy grace is the abuse of 1 John 1:9. It's fake repentance. He calls it premeditated repentance. "Oh, I'm so sorry, God. I'm going to 1 John 1:9. I want to be cleansed. Thank you, Lord. But I sure am looking forward to next Friday night." You know, but that's not repentance. God's long suffering. He'll give you space, you know. But that's not repentance. Anyway, I'm not here to teach sin shall not have dominion. But boy, I recommend it to you. And listen, those that are causing division in the camp, let's get together. Come on. Stop it. Let's get on the same page. Dave has already taught this. We're not teaching anything different than Dave's already taught. I mean, I heard it myself, and I'm going, I didn't hear it. I heard it, but I didn't hear it. You know? Well, Jesus is just real serious about teaching all of us converts, everybody, to observe, not just know, but to do everything that he taught them. John chapter 8. If you remember, this is right after the woman with the caught in the act of adultery. You know, it's hard to catch just one party in the act of adultery. They caught her, but not him. I don't get it. I mean, you know. And the law, if you go back and look, they're both supposed to be stoned, not just her. But anyway, I think it was a setup myself. I think it was a setup deal and on purpose to bring her before Jesus to see what he would do. And I'm not going to teach on that so much. But Jesus is looking at her knowing he is going to die for her sins. Okay. So let's just pick it up right at the end of it. Verse 10, John 8:10. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Now notice, neither do I condemn thee. Now notice, go and sin no more. That's a prophetic statement to her. Now, in my mind, she didn't just run out the door at that statement. I think she stayed. I believe she's still there, and I believe she hears the rest of what he says. It may not be, but it helps me to think that way. Because right after he says, go and sin no more, which is what God has always said. He gave them the law, keep my law, don't sin. Knowing that they could not do it, they had no nature to do it. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to let us know we need a Savior. Isn't that right? But yet prophetically he says to her, right after he says, I'm not condemning you. Why? Because he's going to die for all the sins of Adam. And I mean the whole species of Adam, including her. Okay? But then prophetically he says to her, go and sin no more. Well, God's always said that. But how many know there's not been one righteous? No, not one. Nobody could keep the law. Nobody could do it. Yet he says to her again, go and sin no more. But then he explains in verse 12. He's talking prophetically. Remember at this point, Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were until John, talking about John the Baptist. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man and woman presseth into it. So he's speaking prophetically. Go and sin no more. But he's talking about, he's explaining in verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now he's telling that woman, like he's told every person for centuries, go and sin no more, knowing they're like the Roman 7 person who loved God and received the law and wanted to keep it, did his best to keep it. But found out like every other person, I found another law working in my members. There's something, what's wrong with me? The sin that I wasn't going to do, I wind up doing that. And the good thing I was going to do, I don't want. There's another law that's deeper than my will. It's deeper than my willpower. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? And thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then you make that switch over to the Romans chapter 8. And you go from the old covenant to the new covenant. You go from the covenant God made with the spiritually dead species to the covenant God's made with the spiritually alive species. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from that law of sin and death. What the law could not do, it couldn't do it. Nobody could get free by the law because they had that law of sin and death working in them. Jesus birthed us again with his own life. And it's not the Holy Ghost. You've got to remember, Jesus walked 30 years with sin free, without sin, even though he was wearing fallen flesh just like ours, passed down from Adam through Mary. His flesh was the same kind of flesh you're wearing, tempted in every point like we are, yet without sin. Well, what's the difference? How come he could do it and nobody else in history could do it? Because he had that light of life. He had that eternal life. But see, when he says there in John 8, he that follows me will not walk in darkness. I can't help it. Just go to 1 John. John starts right off, right there. I mean, the very first chapter. And Jesus says, I am the light. Okay, what if I just said that? Didn't he say, I am the light of the world? What if I just said it? What if he said, I am the light? Is that okay? I am the light? All right. 1 John. Chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in him there is only a little bit of darkness. See, there is no darkness at all. And throughout this letter, John keeps emphasizing. See, it starts off with, okay, Where do you think I'm going to be in 1 John? Okay. But it starts off with this wonder of this man they have met, this life that is in this human, like as no, this man, anyway, let's say man, that is unlike any other man. Look, the wonder. John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. Now notice, he doesn't even say Jesus. He says of the word of life. For the life was manifested. We have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. The wonder of his words just 50, 60 years later, it's still, we touched him. We saw him. This was a life like no other. No other man talked like him. No other man could walk like him. No other man could do what this man did. This life was with the Father. This didn't originate on earth. And it's manifested and we got to touch him and see him and hear him. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. And that's what he does through this whole letter, that your fellowship would be truly with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. But see, that wonder of that life, come down to chapter 5. That eternal life that was with the Father and is manifested unto us. He says, verse 11, 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. That the wonder of wonders, that life that was in him, God has made it possible through the new birth. We have that same eternal life in us. God wasn't just wanting to send one that we would admire and see go back to heaven and we just worship and he left us as sinners. God is wanting to repopulate the earth with children born of his Spirit. Jesus is the prototype. He is the perfect prototype. He is alive in his Spirit, wearing fallen flesh, but anointed by the Holy Ghost. And he keeps himself, not by the power of the Holy Ghost. Remember, he lived 30 years sin-free before he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that's why he says right here in the same chapter, he that's born of God, says, keepeth himself. It's not the Holy Ghost keeping you. It's that born-again you keeping you. That's the message. That's the gospel. That's what Dave was preaching. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You have been born of God. You've got the same life in you that Jesus had in him. Stop making excuses. Grow up. Believe the gospel and repent. And your flesh is not going to like it. And that's why Peter said, he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. See, we're starting to finally understand this. I've been repenting all over myself. And my walk is pretty good, pretty good. I'm just telling you, I don't have a whole lot of nunyas left. I like what Bronx says, though, where we're going now in revival, your nunyas become my business. If we're going to war and we're in the same foxhole and my life is somewhat dependent on your life, your nunyas become my business. I don't have a whole lot of nunyas. Told you about one. I thought I was watching a TV show that's pretty clean. 2 seasons I've been watching. It's pretty clean. Navy, honor, respect, pride, USA, go. Season 3, the very first episode, they got this lady falling out of her shirt. If you know what I mean. It's not showing everything, but didn't leave a whole lot. I'm 71, but I ain't dead. I'm having a hard time going to sleep that night. I'm going, no, I'm not thinking about that. I'm not thinking about that. Well, I'm not watching that show no more. It's gone now. Throw me a spitball like that, I ain't going to, you know. I'm telling you, our path is getting narrow. I'll be honest with you, where we're going, you ain't going to have time for TV, no. You're not going to have time for TV. Who's going to, when you're busy opening children blind eyes, you got time for TV. I think we'll leave these 5 cancer patients, these little kids with brain cancer, we're going to leave them right there while I go watch TV. Now, where we're going, this is real. We are going into revival. I have never been more excited about where we're going. This gospel is killing me, and that's a good thing. Kill me all. Get it all gone. Smith used to say, All of God, none of me, but all of God. He used to stand at Niagara Falls and watch the power roll over those. I've been there. I've stood right there. I mean, it sounds like jet airplanes going anyhow. It's so loud. And he'd look at that with tears. People watch him, said tears, and they'd hear him say, "Like that in me, Lord. I want you like that in me. That kind of power." Glory to God, we're going somewhere. I'll never forget the day I was just preaching, minding my own business here. And to me, Jesus walked right through the wall between those two speakers, walked right over here, put his finger on this Bible, and said, "I want to be believed." And 1 John has just... half a century later, the fire is still in that old apostle. He loves Jesus. He's still doing what Jesus sent him to do, and he doesn't care whether you like it, whether you don't like it, whether you leave or whether you don't leave. He is going to hold fast to what Jesus said no matter what you're preaching. If you don't want to stay, there's the door. But I'm going to warn other people about you when you go out there preaching in his name and you're preaching wrong. I'm going to tell them who you are. Paul said, mark those. Mark them. We haven't gotten to 2nd and 3rd John yet. He says, don't even bid them Godspeed. Don't even bid them Godspeed if they're out there preaching a different Jesus than this one. If they're out there telling you. Big 40,000 member churches. And telling them the words of Jesus don't apply to Christians. All of his teachings before the resurrection were only to the Jews. God have mercy on their souls. I already see where the first revival is going to be. It's in the church. Lots of people going to get born again in the church. In the church. I hear judgment must begin at the house of God. You know what? As I'm going through first, I told you, I'm not in charge. I don't even want to be in charge. One of the things that Pastor Dave says on that first lesson, in sin shall not have dominion over you. He said there was another preacher. He didn't say who it was. He said he was fellowshipping with another preacher that was going to do the same thing that I did. Go through 1 John line by line and teach it. And he said halfway through the book, this other preacher abandoned the project. Well, why did you abandon it? And the way he worded it, he says, I couldn't find the grace in it. What he meant was, I could not find a covering for my sin. Because God did not intend to cover your sins. And I thank God for the blood. We understand love covers a multitude of sins. Don't send me no letters. I know it's in there as well as you do. But what God's purpose is not to cover our sins. God's purpose was to free us from our sin. And that's what he means. He's going through there. He says he's losing all of his excuses as he's going through 1 John. And he says, to be honest with you, he kind of become one of those antichrist people. If I can't keep my sin, I'm not sure I want to keep going. Well, we're going, and your sin's going to be left behind. And that's just the way it is. You shout all you want, honey. I love every minute of it. She's back there going, that was too loud. No, it's not. You shout. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's look at that verse. I believe it's 1 Peter. I think 1 Peter. Yeah, I was looking at it earlier today. We'll just pick it up on this part. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's look at verse 12. First Peter chapter 4 verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now, before I go any farther, he is not talking about sickness and disease here. He is talking about persecution for righteousness' sake, for you standing up and being a Christian and telling the truth. You do that even now. I mean, I'm not on Facebook. Angie does some Facebook stuff for us, but I hear from others. You just say anything against abortion, and they're going to rail. You say anything what the Bible says about homosexuality, you're going to get lots of hate mail, lots of hate stuff. You're going to get some persecution. But we have to love people enough to tell them the truth anyway. See? You got to tell them the truth. Yes, sir. So when he says here in verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Well, boy, he never suffered sickness. It's not talking about that. What kind of sufferings? It was reproaches and insults and eventually put him on the cross. That when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. Boy, you better start hugging that verse. That needs to become one of your favorite verses. That when they call you a hater and a bigot, and then later they egg your car, and then later it gets worse, happy are you. Happy are you. Why? For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. That, you know, that list is not exhaustive or inclusive. What if we put fornicator? What if we put adulterer? What if we put covetous? All of the drunkard. All of the other things that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and also Galatians chapter 5. But in other words, Peter's going, I don't want to hear about your suffering if you did stuff. We're not talking about that. No, we're talking about you cleaned up that stuff. You repented of that stuff. Now you're standing up strong for Christ. And you're speaking the truth in love. And you're getting reproached for it. So that's verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Now when you're preaching it, doesn't that sound great? When they're yelling at you and calling, and it might be family, and they're calling you a hater and a bigot, and, you know, it's not so pleasant then. You know, if you get fired off your job because you won't agree with their LGBT training class, you don't want to put me in that class. I'm not going to be silent. I probably won't have a job, but I'm not going to be silent. I love them too much. So you got to understand, it's not pride, it's love. Let him glorify God on this behalf. Don't be ashamed. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And be honest with you, the very fact that he gave us, and I'm sure he's given it before, but this body, the very fact that he has given us 1 John the way he has, that is in itself a judgment. I don't care if it took 21 lessons. He laid it out so simple, the wayfaring fool cannot misunderstand it. Now, it's up to you. You're going to repent or you're not. You're going to change or you're not. Judgment has come to the prayer center. And everybody that's listening to those, if you're around the world, my friends in Australia, my friends in Germany, my friends in Poland, my friends around the world, listen, judgment has come. And when you listen to those messages and conviction comes, that is God's judgment, and it's time to repent. And I don't care if you're a pastor, been preaching for 25 years. He's changing all of us. All of our paths are getting narrower. Because we're going into revival. And I see it so clear now, better than I ever have. One of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the main reasons we're not already in revival, we have not been preaching the gospel as pure as he left it. We've been preaching some mamby-pamby watered down, how did Dave say, milk toast gospel that just appeases the flesh and barely slide into heaven. Good Lord Almighty, I'm ashamed that I smoked for 42 years. I'm ashamed now. I wish I'd have. I'm ashamed of it. But thank God I don't do it now. I'm going to tell you again about my friend, and I think he'll still love me. He'll hear this. Guy's got a heart for God. I've actually visited with him now. Been hearing the messages, and, you know, he loves God. He really. But not enough to repent. Still yet. Spent an hour and a half with him. He was even agreeing with me. Yeah, I know I'm wrong. In this case, it's a part of it is open fornication. Has been living fornication. Same girl for like 12 years. I know a preacher that'll marry you for free in the living room of, you know, his house. Tomorrow. Me. But haven't heard anything yet. See, that's not godly sorrow. That's not real repentance. That's like, well, I feel bad, but somehow I still believe that lascivious grace. Somehow if I died today, I'd still go to heaven. No, you won't. If you do, God's going to have to throw this into hell because it makes him a liar. God is no respecter of persons. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, read it for yourself. Adulterers and fornicators and more shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. They're both the same anyway. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Same thing. No, you're not. Until it comes to the place of repentance, you have not yet observed. See, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. John is just so clear in his 1 John epistle. You say, well, I know him. Well, are you living in open fornication? Well, yeah. Didn't he say not to do that? Well, yeah. Well, then you're not doing his commandments. But you're telling me you love him. John says, if you don't keep his commandments, you don't know him. And if you don't keep his commandments, you don't love him. You're telling me you're not keeping his commandments, but you do know him. And you do love him. Somebody lying, I don't think it's God. Now see, that's an extreme case. But what's he dealing with you about? I'm trying not to make eye contact. What's he dealing with you about? The universal you. See? I'm so glad. I'm so glad he talked to Nathan about the coffee. So far, he hasn't said anything to me about it. But he said to me about other things that he hadn't said to Nathan. No. That's because he's your Lord. He knows your name. Remember the prophecy that came last time? I know your name. I will lead you out. Individually, I will lead you out right where you, wherever you are, whatever mess you're in, I'll lead you out. But he can't do it unless you're willing to obey his voice. He just can't do it. He's not going to make you. If he's going to make anybody do it, he'd have, like Dave says, he'd have slapped Adam down on his way to the tree. No, you don't, smacko. If he was ever going to do that, he'd done it with Adam. He's not going to do that. I didn't get to the verse yet, did I? Yeah, I did. Verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. And there is a suffering sometimes according to the will of God. It's not sickness, not disease. It's when you stand up for righteousness and get persecuted for it. When that happens, you commit the keeping of your soul to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. We're going to have communion Sunday night. Now, this is your communion preparation. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, we taught quite a bit on communion and how communion teaches that not only is salvation in the blood of Jesus, but healing is in that blood. With his stripes, ye were healed. Remember that? And communion, when you rightly discern the Lord's body, how it was broken for you, you can be healed. Paul's teaching on that in 1 Corinthians 11. And he says, picking it up in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Now, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." If you read earlier in the same letter, part of the reprimand as they were getting together to have the Lord's Supper, and it was like the rich people were breaking open their bread and wine and having everything they needed, and the poor people over here didn't even have anything. They were certainly not celebrating it with respect. They weren't doing it worthily. Okay? But there's more than just that. See, he continues, verse 28. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh," now again, unworthily, he's not saying you're unworthy. You're not doing it properly. You're doing it unworthily. "Eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." You're not understanding what this whole thing is about. Why did he take the stripes? Why did he shed his blood? He took the stripes so you could be healed. He shed his blood so you could be free from sin. That's what it is. That's rightly discerning the Lord's body. "For this cause," because they don't discern that, they don't do it respectfully, they don't understand what's going on. "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you." And many sleep. You know that means they're dead. Now here's the verse. And this is what 1 John is helping me with. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Dave says it like this: I'd rather have the judgment here than face the judgment there. Amen. So, for when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. Why? Well, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now, listen, there is no reason to put those words in there unless there's a danger of being condemned with the world. Well, that's like my friend. I love him so much. I've known him forever. I don't want him to be condemned with the world. God's working on him to the point of conviction came. He came and talked with me. God's working on him. But being sorry is not enough. Godly sorrow leads you to repentance. And repentance is not, "I'm sorry." Repentance is, "I'm not doing it no more." I just mentioned one thing. There's other things. But let's don't talk about him. Let's talk about me. See, this is where he's bringing us. Because we're going into revival. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Back to 1 John. This is why it's so important that we judge ourselves now. Now, I'm not talking about just before communion. I'm talking about before revival. Because right near the end of 1 John, I can talk. 1 John 5, look at verse 18. And again, I'm going to put in the present tense, continuous tense in the Greek. "We know that whosoever is born of God does not habitually sin as a lifestyle. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. And that wicked one touches him not. When I looked up that word touches and I found out the first meaning is attach, I immediately saw Dave teaching about the handles. I saw myself as a coffee cup. Of course it'd be coffee. Saw myself as a coffee cup with about 12 handles. And here comes the devil going, oh, this is easy. I can get a hold of Gary here. I can get a hold of Gary there. You know, I used to have a real love of money. I mean, I did. My whole life was about money before I got really saved and come to the Lord. I mean, you offer me a $20,000 raise, I'd move to Namibia out in the desert somewhere. That's stupid, because what are you going to spend the money on there? But anyway, what I'm saying, though, a handle, I know I had that handle. I had that handle. And, so God wants to use me in revival. And we're about to have the first one where the little children are about to get healed. In God's mind, that little kids are going to get healed of brain cancer. And the devil comes, but wait, I see a big handle I can attach myself to. This guy loves money. And all I got to do is offer him enough and he'll give up on that revival and follow the money instead. What if your handle is Mr. or Mrs. Goodlooking? You know, whether you're married or not. You know? Sees a big old flesh handle there. Mr. and Mrs. Good Looking. Well, yeah, we're going into revival. I've been praying. I've been fasting. I've been doing there. Woo, look at her. He done attached himself to you. And see, this wording is perfect. Thank God for the Holy Ghost and thank God for John. Look at it again in your Bible. He that is begotten of God. Now, what part of you is begotten of God? Is it your body? Is it your soul? Your mind? No. It's your spirit. It's the real you. The part of you that God is a spirit and so are you. You are his child. That is the part of you. That is your new person on the inside that Alan has taught us on over and over. That's the real you. It is not the Holy Ghost keeping you. It is the real you, the part of you that's been begotten of God. You keep yourself. I like how Bronk said it. It's with the sanctified no. No. And the flesh goes, bet me. And you go, I'll take that bet. No. I'll kill you. I don't care. No. I keep myself. How did Jesus do it for 30 years without the baptism in the Holy Ghost? Come on. Come on. He is our prototype. He is our example. Now, oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Now, we could stay here for months. All the benefits of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is not your compass of righteousness. You know how a compass... He gave me this example this morning. See, and those that are causing some division, I'm not against you. Let's just get together and talk, okay? But they're causing divisions. Well, no, you can't quit sin until you get taught. Well, Dave talks a lot about us getting taught by the Holy Ghost. So I was praying, Lord, how do I explain that in a way they'll get it? He says, does a compass have to be taught to point north? Maybe the compass needs to mature. When you first get a little baby compass, it points east, right? Southwest? No? But it's just a baby. They just made it this morning. It's a baby compass. It's only been on the earth about an hour. It's pointing southwest. Is that what a compass does? A compass points north from the day it's created, and your spirit points to righteousness the day it's born. You do not have to be taught about righteousness. You got to be taught about your calling. You got to be taught about how to treat people. You got to be taught all kinds of things. Yeah, we got to be taught all kinds of things. Dave is not teaching about being taught to stop sinning. You listen to that first message yourself and you'll know if you're honest, I'm telling the truth. Over and over, if you're still sinning, it's because you want to. And he really picks on smokers, and I'm sitting there when he's preaching it. If you're still smoking, it's because you want to. I remember being in those services. You know? Anyway. Aren't you glad I pick on my stuff, not your stuff? I'm ashamed now that I didn't get it. I should have got it. I should have heard what he said. I should have believed my pastor. He told me the truth all those years ago. Took me forever and 3 days to finally get free. Well, I'm ashamed of that. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God I've been freshly washed in the blood, and I have never failed God. Whew, thank God for the blood. Look at that verse again. We know that whosoever is born of God does not habitually sin as a lifestyle. Well, how does he not do it? Well, he that's begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Remember that grease pole? Most of you too young to ever been to a county fair, country county fair. They take a pole. It's kind of like a flagpole. And they erect that thing, lather that thing with some kind of hog fat, some kind of grease, something, axle grease, something. I mean, it's slippery. And they put some kind of a money or something at the top, you know. All you got to do is climb the pole. You ain't never had so much fun. Watching all these people trying to climb that pole. And, of course, people's rears are coming down on other people's faces. Trying to climb that greased pole. Man, I want to be that greased pole person. No handles at all. Like Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me. Say it right now. Let's say it by faith. The prince of this world might come. But if he does, he has nothing in me. I keep myself. That eternal life that was with God and was manifested on earth, that eternal life that kept Jesus from sinning for 30 years before the baptism in the Holy Ghost. John says that same eternal life is now in me. I have the Son. I have eternal life. I have been begotten of God. And I keep myself. Satan has nothing in me. Thank God. Praise God. Now the Holy Spirit. See, I'm not even going to start teaching there because you can't improve. I can't improve on Dave. Just listen to everything Dave has taught us. Yes, you need to be taught. Yes, you don't know why you keep falling to certain things, patterns, you know. The Holy Ghost knows all that kind of stuff. But the truth of the matter is, you can stop sinning today. Now you might... I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm doing this. Dividing, I guess. I was counseling someone today. And a very smart person, loves God, beautiful person, young person. Well, at my age, a lot of people are young now. No, it's your young person. And in the emails, you know, it's like, I have made a lot of mistakes. With good intentions, I keep making mistakes. Now, this is not necessarily sin, but like, you know, just bad mistakes. Just, you know, that was wrong. I shouldn't have bought that house, or I shouldn't have done that, or I shouldn't have dated that guy. I shouldn't have this, you know, just. So how do I get out of that pattern? See? And my first answer was what Dave teaches us. He said, you need to establish a pattern of praying in other tongues. The Holy Spirit. See, now this is what the compass doesn't have. The compass will point towards north. Your nature will point towards righteousness. But your nature does not know your calling. Your nature doesn't know. You know, your nature doesn't know what city you're supposed to live in to accomplish God's plan for your life. All of that information is brought by the Holy Spirit. So I told this person, I said, listen, set a minimum of... And the example I used with this, because hopefully in America, nobody leaves their house naked. So, you know, go to work, you know. I said, in the same way that you would never leave your house without putting your clothes on, you don't ever leave your house without first praying an hour in other tongues. And if that means getting up an extra hour, so be it. But even if you don't get to the place like Dave, you know, where you, the Holy Ghost said this and the Holy Ghost said that. Listen, the Holy Ghost, every hour you give him, he is making intercession for you according to the will of God. He knows the plan of God. Your understanding might be totally unfruitful during that whole hour. But listen, your spirit is not unfruitful, and it is receiving those communications, those mysteries that are being prayed. And your spirit will begin communicating with your soul. You'll start making right decisions and not even know why you're making them. But it starts with a consistent prayer life. To me, an hour, I mean, you know, maybe 10 minutes is all you can do. Well, fine, there's no magic. I just use an hour because Jesus said, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? To me, that's like the first go. Let's get 1 hour at least, okay? And I'm not even talking about maintenance prayer. How does Bronk call it? Windshield prayer. Hey, we all pray in our cars, hopefully. We all pray while you're doing the laundry, while you're vacuuming, while you're mowing the lawn. That's all good and it all counts, but how about some just you and the Holy Ghost? Personally, I like, Dave taught me to read my Bible and pray softly in other tongues. And don't even eat, don't have snacks during that hour. Hey, fasting can begin with 1 hour too, you know. But he says, if you do that, he says, just think, your spirit is receiving input from God the Holy Ghost. Your soul is receiving the Word of God. And at least for that hour, you're telling your body, shut up. He said, it's a good start. It's a good start. So I've tried to, you know, over these years, discipline myself. Like, well, I wouldn't leave. Trust me, I'm not leaving the house without my clothes on. Well, I'm not leaving the house without my hour of prayer. Now, my next email to that person, because I've met people then that they go over in the other ditch on the other side. We've actually had this happen. I forgot to pray. I got too busy to pray. I didn't pray today. Oh God, something terrible is going to happen. No, it's not. Come on. Next week is conference. I'll be lucky. During conference, there is no prayer. I'm usually meeting with people before dawn. Then we're in the services and I'm meeting them for lunch and we're in the services and I'm meeting them that evening and trying to spread out as much as I can with as many people as I can, fall into bed about midnight and get up and do it again the next day. And I'm not going to get that much prayer next week. You understand? My Father has my back. It's not like prayer is not like a lucky charm. Okay. No, it's not, you know, like a rabbit's foot, you know? No. What we're talking about is a consistent prayer life. You miss a day, just get back at it tomorrow. You know? You understand what I'm saying? The goal is a consistent. If you get to where you pray 1 hour a day on the average, you'll pray way more than most pastors in America. I hate to say that. That's just the God's truth now. It just really is truth. I'm not saying all of them, but you'll be praying more than most of them. I told you. First John 5. Let's look at verse 18 again. We know that whosoever is born of God, that's us. We do not live in habitual. Now, listen, I'm looking at the camera and I'm talking to you. Listen to me. Please listen to those messages on 1 John. He really went slow. He line by line. But listen, if you are living in habitual sin like fornication, drug abuse, drunkenness, you're not saved. You need to know that. Somebody's got to tell you the truth. This whole thing about His grace covers that. There's space to repent. He even gave Jezebel space to repent, but that space doesn't last forever. It's time to believe the gospel. That life that was in Christ, if you're a believer, He puts that life in you. And the same way Jesus, the man, walked sin-free by walking by that light of life, you have that same light of life when you get born again. So receive Him. Let that light come in you and then obey whatever it says. It'll clean you up real quick. But you got to be willing to yield. You got to yield your mind to what He says. Yielding to that new man, that new life on the inside. That is Christ in you. Yielding to Him. That first week when I got saved, man, He started coming against my alcohol, my pornography collection, the music that I was listening to, the way I was talking to my wife. I couldn't be around certain guys anymore because it was always dirty jokes. I mean, it was all coming from the inside. And I could have chosen to disobey every one of them. Thank God I didn't. Thank God I didn't. We're not talking perfection, but we're talking becoming genuinely His child, growing up. And that new nature He put in you points towards righteousness from day one. It's like a compass. Maybe it was made an hour ago. That compass will point true north from the beginning. And that new nature points towards righteousness in you from the beginning. Yielding to that is yielding to Christ. Okay, I can't say it much better than that. Verse 19. And we know that we are of God. What does that tell you about the world? It is not. That's why earlier in the letter he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, these things aren't even of the Father. The whole world lieth in wickedness, and the better translation is, the whole world lieth in the power of the wicked one. You know who doesn't lie in the power of the wicked one? You who keep yourself. You keep yourself. Say it with me again. I am begotten of God. I am born of God. I do not live in habitual sin. The devil has no handles in me to attach himself to. I am accustomed to the sanctified no. And I say no. And I keep myself. That's why he gave me that eternal life. It kept Jesus free from sin. And it keeps me free from sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The whole world lieth in the power of the wicked one, but not you. Because you're of God. You've been born of God. You got the same eternal life. And that's the wonder of the book. It's like bookends. It starts off, we saw this eternal life. It was in Him. We touched Him. We held. It's oh, wonder of wonders. It was with God. But by the end of the book, that life is in me now. That's the gospel. God is repopulating the earth with sons and daughters. Really, we're all sons born of His Spirit that's able to walk above sin. Say it with me. As He is, so am I in this world. I walk as He walked. I walk in the light as He is in the light. I keep myself. And that wicked one touches me not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.